Thank you very much, Ms. Joyce. Appreciate that. Take your Bible, if you will, please. I want you to turn to Amos chapter 3. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. Amos, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos. That's in the Old Testament, minor prophets. And I want you to look for that. While you're looking for that, I will say that I concur. Brother Hewitt has all the answers. He can't match them up with the questions, but he has all the answers. Oh, sorry. Oh, where'd he go? There he is. All right. Yeah, well, that's what happens when you leave the room. You know, people talk about you. This morning, right after the service, I'm going to have to slip out quickly. I have an event I got to go to in Harrisburg, and I'll be back by the evening service, of course, but just so you know, I'm not avoiding anybody. I just have to slip out just as quick as I can. But anyway, God bless you. There's one verse I want you to see here in Amos, and you might think it's strange for me to preach this message with this verse, but I think you'll understand. Chapter 3, verse 3 of Amos says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" The simple little concept, and yet causes so much problems in people's lives. He's basically asking a rhetorical question there, and of course, the answer is obvious. Can two walk together except they be agreed? No. I mean, you know, for a few minutes maybe. You know, you could walk down the sidewalk with somebody you don't agree a thing with, you know, for a while. But that word walk there means to go through life. Can they be your companion, your even your best friend? It's not that you don't be unfriendly to them, but part of what makes you a friend usually is that you have things in common. You know, you feel like they know you and you know them, and they almost can finish your sentences and you can finish theirs. And I like it when they finish, because I usually can't finish my own sentences. But they finish their sentences with us. Just quick question here, and I'm going to apply that to something here this morning. And Isaiah 59:1 says this, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue have muttered perverseness." When we get finished these verses, somewhere along the way, each of us must make this distinction and decision. Are we going to walk with the Lord, or are we not? If I don't walk with the Lord, then I'm going to be walking in sin. And when I walk in sin, it separates me from my God. So if I want to walk with the Lord, I need to agree with the Lord. Right? Now, the time that I walk away and stop agreeing with the Lord, I begin being separated from the Lord. You understand? And so I'm going to preach a message after I pray here, and I'm entitling it, "Can We Walk Together?" Something kind of came up this week, and I didn't know about until just this past week, and I want to apply this to that. Can we walk together? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for the plainness of it. We know that you're not trying to make it complicated, and we need to take it for what it says. And fact, a lot of people say don't like what it says, so they figure it must say something else, or they claim it must be really difficult to understand because they can't understand it because they're not willing to let it say what it says. And a lot of contention and things like this can show up in a situation like that. But it's just a matter of practicality here. We can't walk together for a long time if we don't agree. So, Lord, I hope that this message will be taken for the way it's meant, for what it was meant to do. And so, Lord, I pray that you give me your wisdom, your power. May the Holy Spirit be that sweet oil that makes the truth sink into the depths of our souls here. And, Lord, this is not really us against them mentality. This message is not. Yet, though, people will perceive it as so. So, Lord, I need you here this morning. I want to do my best to speak the truth, but to speak it in love. So, Lord, use this time for us. And there may be some other applications for this in our lives when we learn this principle. Lord, use it, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. This message may not seem what it really is. I mean, some are going to think it's an attack on certain members of our society, but it's not. I'm going to attempt to simply explain my stance and my practice here, and I'm going to show you from the Bible where it came from, and I want you to consider it this morning. Please don't let this get you upset because I'm going to talk on this, but here we go. This is Gay Pride Month. Those who participate in this say they hope to bring unity among our nation over this issue. This kind of recognition was established to show the world that they are not ashamed to be gay. They're not embarrassed for everyone to know it. They have coming out parties where they congratulate each other for having the courage and the boldness to let the world see who they think they are. And why would they feel they need to brazenly and in your face prove that they are proud to be queer, but they do. Now, I'm using that term queer because that's the Q on the end of LGBTQ, just so you know. That's their word. Now, when I was growing up, it was not necessarily used in a positive way, but they've decided they're going to take it and said, that's right, and I'm proud of it. And that's okay. It's their business. Personally, I don't care what they do in their bedroom. And frankly, I don't want to know. I don't understand why they want me to know what they do in their bedroom, unless it is because they think they have something to prove. Actually, the preferences and the beliefs of those who believe in an alternative lifestyle is being pushed on the world as much as they think the gospel of Jesus Christ is being pushed on them. They think we must agree with them and support them and give them credibility. They want us to walk with them in the paths that they have chosen. They want us to accept a way of life that has never been acceptable to God. And they want to choose our relationship with them over our relationship with God. Let me say that right. Let me say it again, make sure I said it right. They want us to choose our relationship with them over our relationship with a holy God. Let me give you several things to think about this morning. Number one, we must decide what spirit we are of. We have to decide. We must decide what spirit we are of. In Galatians 5:16, it says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornications, any illicit sexual activity, uncleanness, lasciviousness. And it goes on: idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You're not going to get blessings from the kingdom of God by when you're doing these things. Just not. Now, it says there that you walk in the spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, but the flesh is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit is contrary to the flesh, and so you can't do them both. You cannot walk in the lust of the world and of our flesh and also claim to be walking with the Lord in His Spirit. You can't do both. You can't walk together lest you be agreed. And I'm not mad at these people. I'm mad at the concept, what they're trying to do to our nation. And the fact is, the more you've been here the last 6 months, the more we move toward the things of the world, the further we're moving from God, the further we're moving from the blessings. But the point is, they want us to be at unity with them. Somebody this week sent me some advertisement for something they had down here at Counselor Park yesterday. It was York County Pride. It says it's a family event with 50 plus vendors, food trucks. Well, so far I'm okay. Drag performances and entertainment galore. And we know what the entertainment type of things. One of the sponsors, one of the things they were going to do says, play catch with dad allows Pride participants to play catch with a father figure. They will be located near the ball fields. So the kids don't have a daddy, so these people want to show that they can be their daddy. There's a group called Central PA Polyamory Group, a local run polyamory social group that hosts regular meetups and others education and offers education in polyamory. Now, if you don't know what polyamory is, poly means many, and amory means loves. And many lovers. That's what that means. They intend to offer coloring for children, host a drum circle, and will be handing out information pamphlets and stickers. So they're going to give education on polyamory. There's a group there called the Pens Men. The Pens Men are a group of LGBT people with a common interest in the leather lifestyle. They are committed to promoting pride in and greater understanding of their lifestyle. In addition, they are committed to promoting pride in the larger gay community, as well as to donating their time and energy to assist causes that are important to their unique community, as well as the broader human community. And then the local church here that we have spoken of before, that was quoted in the paper as being grieved and appalled by us having David Barton here, was also one of the sponsors here. And it says, and I'll just read it because there's knowledge. At Dover United Church of Christ, we are gathered in joyful community as children of God and brothers and sisters in Christ. We commit ourselves to the hearing, believing, and doing of God's Word, shaping our lives by supporting one another, worshiping God, promoting justice, and spreading the gospel. I have a lot to do with that. I do know that I was telling somebody before the service here, there are some people who believe that they are more righteous because they support everybody in whatever they want to do, whether it's sin or not. Unless you're somebody who's a stickler about God's word, and you're trying to draw a line there, they don't support that, because that's anti-unity. Back in Galatians 5, we heard what the fruit of the, works of the flesh are: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, revelings, drunkenness, all this such things. We also know what is the fruit of the Spirit. Someone who's walking in the Spirit cannot walk in the flesh, because the Spirit and the flesh are contrary to one another. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So some things we're not going to do if we're walking in the Spirit. This is why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6, it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with believers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of the God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." He's saying there, we don't have to burn down their house. We're not supposed to attack them or anything else, though they may do that to us. We don't do any of that. But we don't have to accept it for ourselves. We don't have to be unequally yoked with it. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators," illegit sex, "nor idolaters," or adulterers, "or effeminate." That actually is a little phrase that means basically young men who sell themselves as sexual partners to other men. It's young men with men. "Nor abusers of themselves with mankind," and that simply is a nice way of saying homosexual. "Nor thieves, or covetous, or drunkards, or revilers, or extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." We must decide of what spirit we're going to be, because you cannot be both. Number two, the LGBTQ community wants us to walk together with them. They want us to be unified. I told you I got that the preacher from that church brought a letter when she and her wife came to our David Barton seminar. And she wrote a letter saying, "Why can't we just get together and have some conversation and unify rather than dividing our community?" Well, just so they know, we're in what has been traditional America. What we're propagating here really is traditional America. So we're not dividing anybody. Now, I'm not saying all of America was saved, but all America basically feared God, and at least the vast majority, and wanted to live by that. They want us to legitimize their sin and justify their pride. Someone who walks with God cannot walk with their pride. Pride is sin. And they're proud of being something other than what God has called us to be. I'm not saying, well, I'm proud of my son. You know what I mean by that. I really appreciate who he's become and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, I'm proud of my son and my daughters and so all four of them. I'm proud of them. But that's not what we're talking about. Pride is saying, listen, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. And when you decide you want to believe this, even though God is very clear about that issue, and you're going to go contrary, pride is sin. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We cannot walk along with someone for long if we do not agree with them on major issues. We just can't. Skip that little spot there. We don't need that. We cannot walk with the Lord and walk with the world at the same time. 1 John 1:5. This then is the message which we heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the darkness as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with, I'm sorry, but if we walk, yeah, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ as his son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and the word is not in us. Listen, we cannot walk in sin and still walk with God. Luke 6:13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And when pride is involved, there's going to be sin. Where pride is involved, there's going to be contention. They're going to be in your face. They're not going to let you believe what you want to believe. That we try to convince them to believe what the Word of God says was we want them to walk in the light as he's in the light. They want us to simply agree with them so they can do as they please and legitimize it. But only by pride cometh contention, Proverbs 13:10. Only by pride cometh contention. Why is there contention? Because there's pride. Number three, we must make a choice who we are going to walk with. Okay, now watch me. I said a second, a little while ago, we cannot walk with the Lord and walk with the world at the same time, because if we're going to walk with the Lord, we've got to walk in the light. Because in him is no darkness at all. Watch this. There are some who choose not to walk with the Lord. Romans 1:20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they knew who he was, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was, there you go. But if you want to walk with the Lord, you can't walk in the darkness, because he's no darkness at all. But when I decide that I'm going to be able to make the truth, I can figure out what truth is, and I decide what I want to believe, I profess myself to be wise, instead of becoming fools, and my foolish heart is darkened. I can't walk in the dark and the light at the same time. So two cannot walk together except they be agreed. It says, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. They're telling us that for you to stand where we're talking, we're saying, I'm reading right out of the Bible Bible for you. But they're going to tell us, I'm telling you a lie to divide. It's right here. It's all going to happen. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication and wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Go back to Leviticus 18 and find out whether it's worthy of death. But some choose to watch. Some choose to walk with the Lord. But we cannot do both. Joshua, at the end of his life, they've conquered a good bit of the promised land. He knows he's going to pass off the scene real soon. And he stands up before the Israelites and gives a little speech here. He says, now, this is how we've done it while I was alive. Keep doing it, and you'll keep conquering, and you'll make it through here. And in Joshua 24:14, Joshua says, now, therefore, fear the Lord. Now, if you fear the Lord, you're not going to go against his word. If you go against his word, then you're basically thumbing your nose at God. You don't fear the Lord. If you really knew what God could do, if it wasn't for his mercy and his grace, you would keep your mouth shut. You get in line and follow with everybody right along with his word. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. Make sure it's from your heart. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up out of the fathers and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. I can't live in the world and serve the Lord, because he's a holy God. He's set apart to righteousness. He's sanctified. He's pure. He's holy. You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. That is, verse 20, if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt, consume you after that he hath done to you. And the people said unto Joshua, Nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, Ye are witnesses against yourselves, that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, We are witnesses. Well, now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord, God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will he obey. You want to serve God? Then you gotta get rid of the world. That's what he's saying. If you really want to serve God, you gotta get rid of the world. Because you can't say you're serving two masters. You can't say you're serving the Lord and also and the world's all happy with you. Woe unto you if all the world speaks well of thee. If I choose to walk with those who are proud of their lifestyle but are actually living in the world, then I have chosen to walk away from the Lord. If I want to walk with the Lord, then I must choose not to walk with those who are walking with the world. I don't be mean to them, but I can't get into it. And in fact, the fact is, you got to stay away from that stuff because it's sin. It's like spaghetti sauce. You try your hardest to get away from it, and somehow you still end up with it being splattered. And your sister stays unspotted from the world. That's what we're supposed to do. You just get near that stuff, and you're going to go, I would take my tie off when I eat something like that. But I wear a white shirt most of the time, and I can be just as careful as I can be. And I'll go home, and I'll look in the mirror, and I got these little red dots on my white shirt. And you know, you got to decide whether you're going to be in the world or not. Because it's going to splash up on you, and before you're long, little bits of it's going to stick. And then after a while, you're going to say, well, why are the Christians so harsh on these people? They seem like nice people. Otherwise, we just don't agree with this fact. Well, the thing is, God doesn't agree with that. And he says it's sin. And if I walk in that, then I'm going to lose his blessing too. I'm sorry. If I got to choose whether I'm going to be blessed, whether I'm going to make God happy or I'm going to make the world happy, I'm going for God. He's a whole lot bigger. He's a whole lot mightier. He's a whole lot more loving. And by the way, when it's all said and done and I die, I'm justified in going to heaven when he says I can. I'm sticking with him. I don't want to be mean. I don't have to be nasty. I don't have to slash their tires or let the air out of the tires or write on their car or the house and spray paint graffiti all over stuff. You don't have to do that. It's stupid. That's fleshly. But I also don't have to walk in their ways. I don't have to do that. I cannot support gay pride because the Lord does not walk with gay pride. I know that sounds harsh. How dare you decide who God loves and who he doesn't love? I didn't decide it. We've been reading it here. I didn't decide it. Like you might think I'm kind of liberal when I say this. I don't really, other than it gives me the heebie-jeebies to think about this. Other than that, well, when Nathan goes, when we go to a Chinese restaurant, he's one of those guys who gets this big old shrimp that still has all the legs and the heads and the tail and everything on it, you know, and he'll eat that thing. I gotta go find something else at the buffet about that time when he's eating them. He gets those crawdads, the crayfish, whatever you want to call them there, and you know, looks like a great big bug. You know, he'll eat those things, and it's not wrong to eat them. It gives me the heebie-jeebies. You know, I don't want to do that. But what we're talking about here is not the same. Not only does it give me the heebie-jeebies, but God said, don't mess with it. In fact, he gave us a picture in the Old Testament because you cut the head off and the tail off and easy peel, I'll eat as many shrimp as you want me to eat. That's, you know, but I want to see what it looks like. But the Old Testament, they weren't supposed to eat those kind of things, right? Because they were unclean. Yeah, but they're good. Put a little tartar sauce on there, a little Old Bay. You know, I mean, man, those things are good. He says, no, there's sometimes I want you to stay away from it because I said stay away from it. God said stay away from it. That's all it takes. To not stay away from it is to stay away from God. I'm about ready to finish. Can we walk together? We can, if you're also walking with the Lord. I think sometimes Christians get a little bit snooty. And, this preacher can't fellowship with this preacher because this preacher fellowships with this preacher who fellowships with this preacher, and we don't like this one. You know what I'm saying? Now, I think we need to keep things clean. I agree. But, I'm going to choose against this guy because he didn't choose against this guy who didn't choose against this guy. I have no idea who these people are. Yeah. I've never been with them, but they're supposed to be bad, so I don't want to. And so we start cutting each other off. You got to be careful with that. I met a lady not too long ago. She's from the Catholic Church. I don't agree. I don't think that she got saved if she really followed the doctrines of the Catholic Church. But when I talked to her, she's saved. She is. I asked her, and I said, "What knock on the door of heaven. What would you tell them to let you in the door?" She said, "Jesus died for my sins." How many of your sins? All of them. She went on. How do you argue with that? I said, "You trusted him as your Savior?" "Oh, yeah." I don't know why they keep going there. That's not my point. So we don't have to throw everybody out in the trash. But on the other hand, this is a place where we're saying, I believe this sin is okay, and I'm going to stay with it, and you can't tell me any different. They've made their choice. Then I'm going to make my choice. I'm going to walk with the Lord. If you choose not to walk with the Lord, then I'm sorry. I may greet you, but I'm not going to walk with you. Because, you see, you're not going the way I'm going. I can't walk with you. You're not going to the same direction I'm going. We just happen to pass along the way. I can walk with you and be in unity with you if I am willing to no longer walk with the Lord. I don't want to make this political, but this is something that's in our minds right now. President Biden was going to be the great uniter. But somehow he thought we would just acquiesce to his ways and his beliefs and change our course and walk with him. Can we just agree on the things that we agree with? Well, first of all, there's not much of that anymore. I like ice cream. I think he likes ice cream. I'm okay with that. I'll agree with him on that. He likes ice cream every day, and I don't. But I would. I'll be glad to go with that too. But there's way too much major things that they're not going to change on. And the only way we're going to have unity is if I give in. And they couldn't understand why we won't give in. And the fact is, we don't understand why they don't give in. I'm sorry, folks. I'm not here to divide, but the fact is, we're never going to be able to walk together unless we be agreed. So what do we need to do? We need to be leading folks to Christ. We just want them to believe what you believe. I want them to have the same spirit. We need to choose to walk in the same spirit. Either we're going to walk in the spirit of our own flesh or the spirit of God. And they're contrary one to the other. So you can't do one and the other one two. You've got to decide which spirit you're going to live in. They think we're causing division, when in fact, they're causing division. They're not walking where America has been walking for the last 2.5 centuries. We haven't been perfect, but basically, the things we are arguing over right now was never even imagined years and years ago. Killing babies. Having some man sleeping with another man, or two women living together, and you think, well, they're probably okay. Women are just affectionate. And then later you find out they had something else going on all those years. The local church here is crying out for unity. That's because they are on the outside of historical America and they want to be part of it. They want to claim to be part of America. Their plan is not to join traditional America. Their plan is to change America into what they are. They're going to educate us on polyamory. They know we cannot walk together lest we be agreed, and so they want us to agree with them. Progressives are doing the same. And the devil has been doing this since the beginning of time. Our country is more divided today, I think, than it has been since the Civil War. Of course, it was divided then over sin. Those that want to hang on to sin are full of pride, and only by pride cometh contention. And by the way, again, just saying, the thing we're being snookered into believing, the Democrats were the ones who fought in favor of slavery. I want you to know that. They want the people of color to feel like they are their savior. No, they were the ones who fought against freedom in the Civil War. They were the ones that after the Civil War started the KKK. Said, we're not giving up. And they were the same ones who established Planned Parenthood to lower the black population. Go back and study it. Now, I don't want to walk with that either. And they think, and they're telling everybody, that we're the white supremacists. I'm no more a white supremacist than anybody. I can't even say it. And they're telling everybody, and you say it long enough and loud enough, people will believe it. Now, what am I trying to say to you this morning? I'm simply saying, stand on the Word of God and let them throw their arrows at us and shoot the arrows. But listen, the shield of faith shall quench the fiery darts of the devil. I don't want to hurt these people. I have no desire. Are there some people who are sincerely in this and they really believe this? Sure. I still don't make it right. Still don't make it true. You know how every little boy decides he's going to be a great athlete. I can believe that all I want. I will never be a great athlete. But in my head I am. I identify as a great athlete. Yeah. Tim Hewitt, you identify with having hair, don't you? Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, you just keep smiling, so I keep jabbing them over there. I don't know why. Just in that mode today. That's how it goes. You know. You can identify and wish you are anything that you want to wish. Listen, I told you the story how I ended up when I was a little boy, if I wanted to play with the other kids, there was only other two other kids, and they were girls, my sister and a first cousin, and if I wanted to play, I either had to be the daddy, which you would think was fine, but they said, oh, Alarm clock, time to go to work, leave. So I didn't get to play with them at all, or I had to be Shirley. Now, I could see some kid kind of getting confused and simply saying, well, I want to have a friend too. I'm going to be a girl. You know what I'm saying? Can you see a little kid do that? I'm going to be a girl. And decide, I'm going to like what they like. I'm going to do what they do because I don't want to be left out. I could see that happening. I was not there. But I'd rather go play in the coal bins that my dad had. He sold coal. Mom didn't like that either. So, but anyway, it's not true because we believe it. I'm not going to sacrifice my relationship with the Lord to have a relationship with the world. If every one of them deserts me and denies and doesn't want to have anything to do with me, that's fine. I want to have a relationship with the Lord. When I was in school, you always get these words of, you know, make sure you watch who you become friends with. And honest to goodness, I honestly did. I decided when I got into high school and all the crazy stuff you heard, I was scared to walk in the door. And that was way back in 1974. I can't imagine what it's like now. I made a decision. Kids, I would suggest you take this in mind. I decided I'd rather have no friends than the wrong friends. That's also awful snobby. I'm a weak man. I'll do something I'm not supposed to if I'm not careful. I got to stay away from evil. Make no place for the devil, no provision for the flesh. I got to stay away from it because I've never been in sin, any great big deep sin. I smoked one cigarette and drank one beer in my life. I'm not advertising it. But I'm sorry I did. But I'm going to stay. If I didn't have any friends at all, I'd rather have that than the wrong friends. That sounds hard. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Earthly friends may prove untrue. Otherwise, the rest of that. That's, yes, but anyway, there's one who will not fail. Jesus never fails. You're not alone. I'm all alone. You're not alone. You may be living alone and there's nobody else in your house. You go home, you are not alone. You are not alone. Cry out to him until he says hello back at you. So all of a sudden that sense of peace, that sense of sweetness, the sense of his presence. You know what? All the things of this world will grow strangely dim. In fact, let's sing that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.